Hello and welcome back to St. Bede's Anglican Church, Tucson, Arizona. Today we're recording our fifth podcast, and the topic today is the future of our church. We have a number of people here today. My name is Daniel Boyle. I'm a lay reader here at St. Bede's. And we have...
Jim Byram, and I'm the priest here at St. Bede's.
Tom Saunders, I'm a member and lay reader.
Nathan Blackwell, deacon.
Brown Blackwell, his son.
Wendy Blackwell, member.
Nancy Byram, member.
Macy Blackwell, member and daughter.
Good job. So we're all really excited here at St. Bede's about our future. I personally believe that our church has a great mission, not only for Tucson, but for Christians everywhere, to spread the message of our Anglican tradition, but most importantly, to talk to and help people learn about Jesus Christ and to come to a personal relationship with Him. So maybe we could start a little bit by talking about concretely what the vestry and the church have decided in terms of maybe building, and talk a little bit about the mission, what our future vision is. We'll start by putting Father Jim on the spot. See, I didn't even tell you that. Just pointed right at you.
Well, it is an exciting time here at St. Bede's. I've had the blessing of being the rector here for just over a year, and really believe with all my heart that Nancy and I were led to become a part of St. Bede's because of God's desire to see St. Bede's recapture sort of a New Testament impetus of reaching out into the community to fulfill the great commission of our Lord to make disciples of all people. And that's a holy task. In many ways, that shouldn't be a unique vision of St. Bede's. Every Christian church should have that as their primary mission. What I can say is God has equipped St. Bede's in a wonderful way by giving us many very faithful and devout members. We're a very small church. Jesus started with 12. But I think the more of us who can be excited about what we see God doing, this isn't about us, it's about Him. And if we are faithful and humble before Him, and yet realize that God's desire is to draw people who so need His love in their lives to Himself, that if we can assist God in that process, then we're in for a very exciting future.
Yeah, Jim, like you're saying, it's important to put the placement on God, because for many people who may hear this and not be familiar with St. Bede's, they think, well, of course, doesn't every church eventually kind of want to do a building plan, and isn't that just kind of the nature of all churches? And although that's wonderful that there are many churches that have the resources to do it, we fully know that this is going to be impossible for us to do on our own. But that doesn't discourage us, nor does that surprise us, because we see the source of this vision, the source of this drive. And I think it's been just something that has been placed on each of our hearts by the Holy Spirit, for just out of the gratitude that we see God pouring into our lives. So we're trying to reciprocate that, for make it available more for others.
It's a real step of faith. I think all of us know that if we get that project finished, it's going to be God's work.
Yeah.
But we're taking that step forward. So how does some of these plans fit into that message that Father Jim, to spread the gospel? How does that really concretely fit into the plan? Because you're right, so many churches have building projects. You walk in many churches, and that's a pretty common theme. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, I want to step back just a minute to what Father Jim said about we're uniquely get back to the building project when I finish. I'm very, very excited about this church. I've been here 4.5 years, and I can't help but think that the love and care and fellowship that I've experienced here can't help but spill over into some other people and reach them with the good news of Christ. I look at this congregation, it's incredibly talented and thoughtful people, and where sometimes we go wrong is we expect everyone to be an evangelist or everyone to be a preacher or a teacher, and I can see at St. Bede's a future where people's talents and what they're good at becomes basically unleashed to serve others, to spread the message of Christ. Not everyone is equipped as an evangelist. Not everyone has pastoral roles. Not everyone is a teacher. But we have people with unique skills, abilities, all over this congregation. People doing unique things already, and I can see God using that. And the building that we're hoping that we can put together is just a tool, a rather large tool for the glory of God, so that we can share those talents and gifts in a space that draws other people in, and where we can work with other people and make this site a place where we can let the wind of the Spirit fill our sails and empower us to take what we have and give to those around us in Christ's love.
I think it's absolutely amazing. If you look at the Bible, what God brings about with very few people, you know, made the comment that it started with 12. We got more than 12, but not all. Well, let's not talk about numbers, but the faithfulness is there, and the talent too. And it doesn't take much applied talent and faith to really accomplish some tremendously important things. I think that's where we're going to see. Who knows what will happen with the building project, but I think amazing things will happen out of that process regardless.
I think some of our members who maybe aren't quite sure how they can reach others with the gospel might take a look at the skills they already have. I know, Nancy, you were a parish nurse, and you're an art teacher, and we have other people in the congregation that do wonderful things and have wonderful abilities. And those are all avenues to reach out to folks with the love of Christ.
There's oftentimes, before we have these podcasts, I try and do some preparation, and admittedly today I was coming into it just thinking, you know, there's not much that I could prepare to do, but in God's providence, I was listening to a podcast earlier today with an author of a book, a woman who's got an incredible story. The book is called The Gospel Comes with a House Key, and it's this, the woman's story is extremely impressive about the grace of God, but she was talking about how Christianity, how we just need to get back to understanding and embracing the idea of being more hospitable. We can very easily, and these are just some of the ideas that she was talking about, we can very easily in this modern world look out to what's going on in society and think that you know, we're best to just kind of put up another foot or two of brick between us and the rest and kind of wall ourselves in. But she described, I think, what we're trying to foster at St. Bede's is that we are set apart with our doors open. We're set apart in the sense that, yes, and as we've described in earlier podcasts, that we do have a traditional Orthodox faith, that we look back to the early church fathers and an apostolic faith, but yet we have the sense of the people within, like Tom was saying, that the body each has a unique part, and we need to build on one another's strengths to be able to come together, receive the grace of God, but then be able to go out. And the building, as Tom was saying, it's a tool. It's an opportunity not only to show to people that we do have an expectancy of God to grow us in size, but just allowing for more opportunities where we can be more available in things that bring together a family. Our worship time is certainly paramount and the most focused that we can be as a church, but also having the opportunities with discipleship and fellowship where other people's gifts and means to come together outside of our church service, that also kind of tells to our neighbors that we're here beyond Sundays, and we're a family just beyond Sundays. They said, she was remarking about, you know, people that kind of look at church as just you go on Sunday and you kind of check in and do your thing. And she described Christians like that, thinking that Christianity, that it was just like a parade passing by. You're just kind of there, you're kind of watching the performance, you're watching what's going on, and then when it's gone, you kind of go back to your own thing, and then, you know, the next week you go to the next parade. But I think we're definitely trying to not only buy the building, but much before, what we're trying to work through the people within the church, just to prepare them to receive more and more of our neighbors.
Yeah, well, I think one of the challenges, particularly for those of us who are part of the Anglican tradition, is our liturgy, which we all love, can tend to lead to kind of a private piety. And that's not a bad thing, because growing in your spiritual life is in some ways, a very private process. Sanctification. But our liturgy is clearly a liturgy that can be sort of create a private kind of Christian. And that, of course, is antithetical to our Lord's desire to say, but you have to proclaim it. You have to take it in, and that's all part of why we love our liturgy. Mm-hmm. It builds us up, but then we stop, and we're not willing to risk going out into the world to share that love with others. And it's kind of difficult for most Anglicans, I think, to talk about Jesus with others. And that's just part of our focus being private in a way. So that's part of the challenge, I think, for St. Bede's. And I think, by God's grace, the more we find ourselves doing the things that we're doing, for instance, this past Sunday we probably had, I don't know, 15 or 16 people stay for Bible study, which was really encouraging. And hopefully, as we grow in our understanding of the Holy Scriptures, God will use that in each of us to draw us out. We also are starting kind of a push towards outreach, and we've started small, but we've done a survey, and we're starting to have people start to think about, instead of just navel gazing at ourselves, we're starting to look at the people Jesus spent his time with. He didn't spend his time primarily with the organized religious types of his day. He went out among the crowds and he told them the good news of his love. And obviously that plan was successful in taking 12 normal, struggling people just like us and turning them upside down to be used for God's glory. And that's the process we're praying will happen here. So, again, I'm all for the kind of private growth that is necessary for all of us on Sunday morning to happen. But then the question of how we translate that into doing it not for ourselves but for others is really important.
Yeah, Jim, one of the things that I heard in that earlier podcast, and it's stuck with me, and it's it's something that I will probably always carry before me as I'm thinking of interacting with people who may not know the gospel. One of the remarks was that we don't open the word, we don't pray the word, we don't study the word because we're trying to stop a conversation. We do it because we're trying to deepen it. And where so much of our conversations with people who may not yet know Jesus and have heard the gospel, first I would say, you know, are we having enough of them? And I think that's great why we're looking at outreach, because we can very easily find ways to avoid having those kind of conversations. But yet so much of the time we probably think, well, we've got to go and we've got to, you know, have a good argument and have a you know, kind of reasons and all the answers. But I think that's antithetical to what you just described, how what Jesus did, is that he was able to take so many people from different backgrounds and the disciples, especially people who were just at polar opposites, but yet was able to bring them together in him. And we, in the body of Christ, in the church, you can come to St. Bede's and it can look odd, and you'll wonder, how can all these people, different ages, different backgrounds, different experiences, how can they come together and mesh? Well, we unashamedly just say that it's in Christ. It's Christ that has bound us together.
When I think about how we get the message out, you take the good things that are happening in St. Bede's, maybe when the doors are closed, and then opening it. I also think the technology has an important role. Things like this podcast, the website that Wendy's worked so hard on, that gets the message out sometimes to places where we can't always reach. So there's a real opportunity there, too. And there's a lot of work that's been put on. But when I think about any successful project, even from a very secular standpoint, the first step is to show up.
Yeah.
you gotta show up.
Yeah.
And you may not have all those answers, but I find in my conversations with people who maybe even don't agree or are hostile to Christianity, there's usually a more personal reason. And if you care about that person and it shows, and you're not just trying to win an argument, yeah, you can make some traction there.
Yeah.
If it just seems like it's just an argument, then you may not really get any place. But it's that love, that genuine concern for somebody that really will open that door. And there's a lot of love in St. Bede's.
Yeah, tomorrow we're having a picnic, and we're going to have three families that are led by single moms, which is a very obviously difficult calling to face, having to work to provide income to take care of the children and all that. So they're coming, they've never met any of St. Bede's other than Jeanette, who's given much of her time to this ministry. And last Sunday in church, I deliberately said something about that. Are people going to let them just stand in a corner? Or are people going to go up and say, we are so happy you're with us, and you know, we're just grateful that you're here with us? It's again, that Anglican reticence to kind of just have joy. It's okay as a Christian to be joyful.
I think that's what's exciting about the outreach, the opportunity to meet new people and build relationships. And it might not be that, kind of like you were saying, Daniel, that people automatically think of that as, I'm looking for an argument. If you build a relationship, it can segue into the opportunity to share the gospel.
And I think some of this is not owned uniquely by the Anglican tradition, although we are the frozen.
Yeah.
Chosen frozen, but some of it's just a human condition. It's hard to meet people. You know, I go to professional conferences. People kind of get in their little cliques. Some of that is it's difficult to go out there and meet people and talk to them. And it can be challenging to talk about something that's so deeply personal to you. But nevertheless, it is Christ's charge. But yeah, it's that personal relationship that I think matters.
I had a professor in seminary who was a genius. He could speak in apologetics and cause for the faith. He became a Christian when he was in college, and he had a roommate who was a believer, and he could just make mincemeat of this guy's arguments because the guy wasn't all that bright. I don't know what his background was. But that guy, his love, his concern, and his prayers is what this gentleman attributed his conversion to, not to any intellectual arguments. And this guy then went on to become a minister and a very well-known credited it to the love he was shown by someone who was equipped to show that love, not because the guy was a genius or an academic or anything like that. And all of us have gifts that God has given us to reach out to other people, and St. Bede's, I think, is a unique place of gifted people.
Yeah, I think, to your point, Tom, that people can spend countless hours pointing people to Christianity without pointing them to Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Peter was trying to get to when he said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." And then many of us just stop the verse right there. But Peter goes on. He says, "With meekness and fear," so that we do have to present this with gentleness and with sometimes with the needs that and the things that they have, that if we continually try to point people to Christ, then it is in Him that will do the good work. If we're trying to just keep winning the argument, well, they may say, "Gosh, that guy really knows what he's doing," but they may not have met Christ in the 20, 30 minutes or however long you spent with them.
Yeah, there's a wonderful hymn that has the phrase, "They will know we are Christians by our love, not by our arguments." I think what Tom said is so, as brilliant as that man was, that can almost be intimidating to someone. But everyone yearns to be loved and cared for and prayed for. And that's the kind of witness, I think, that wins people over. And I also really love what Daniel said about some of these technological ways now that we're trying to reach out. It may never build St. Bede's Anglican Church, but it very well could build the kingdom of God. Someone who lives in Tennessee may stumble onto our website and hear something. And it, Jesus talked about our job is to plant seeds. We're not responsible for whether those seeds grow, and we know the story of the soils, and very few soils will lead to, but our job isn't to do that. Our job is to plant the seeds.
Yeah, we certainly do hope that this, for people who don't have the opportunity to come and visit with us and bring us the joy of meeting you, that we would hope that it would kindle something in you, but yet you also recognize that it's not the full fire. It's not the grace and just the greater love that I think that you can feel by finding that church family.
It's just a little teaser, right?
A little bit, yeah.
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 I pose a question for everyone to consider. It's a little abstract, but where do you hope 10 years St. Bede's will look like? Given everything that we've just said right now, in your mind's eye, any thoughts about that?
Quite honestly, I hope it looks like it does now, but with more of us looking to do the same things. And not that I know that when things grow, they change, and you can't always have the same level of fellowship and the same comfort level you have with a small group. That's just the way life is. But I hope that we draw people of unique gifts, talents, and abilities, those who don't know Christ, to meet Christ, maybe some who do, and be the same kind of fellowship we are, looking to do the same kind of things we have talked about tonight.
Well, my hope would certainly be that 10 years from now, this community would be filled with joyous people. People who know they are loved by God and know they are loved by the people of this church. And I think, as Tom has said so well, I think we've seen that kind of beautiful kind of care for members that is a sign of God's presence among us. I think I also hope I'll see the day where people will not think that they have nothing to offer. And we have a lot of people who go to church every Sunday, I don't mean just saying beads, but who think God could never use my life to bring others to himself. And that's not true. That's a denial of everyone. Is, I think Daniel was saying earlier, everyone has gifts to be used. And if you just use your gift and if you show the love of Christ to someone, then God is going to use that. His word doesn't come back to him empty, nor does a loving heart. He doesn't waste anyone with a loving heart. He wants them to be part of his plan. Because we're all he's got, folks. That's it. And that's enough.
Yeah.
If we're faithful. But it takes us saying, I'm going to risk loving people. And they will respond to that. And then we can say, you know, it's all because of him. That's why I have a reason to give for the hope that's in me. It's not anything to do with me. It's all to do with him. So that's my hope. Regardless of how many people we have, whether we have a building, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
My hope is that we continue to mature as a Christian community to a place of love and a deeper understanding of God, of Christ.
I
give to us.
That would be my hope too, because with that, and we can just go around the room, with that, when you have those kind of people, then there's just more people that can celebrate with you when you have a promotion at work, that can step up and help you out when you have a daughter that's just been afflicted with cancer, that can be that mentor and that strength for you while you're still dealing with issues within your family. And then for me personally, that can reach out and help you and love you when you're grieving over the recent loss of a loved one. Having more and more people that not only see that that's available, but that because of the love of Christ is just permeated through them, they just see where they can reach out and do that more. And I think I don't think it's wishful thinking, but I think if people see and know that, numbers, people are drawn to that. People will be drawn to the real deal, to genuine genuine followers of Christ.
You know, we can't see Christ with our physical eye. That would be nice. I remember
not
my daughter.
Yet.
Not yet. No. My daughter asked, said one day, but I can't see him.
Yeah.
But we're all the embodiment of Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ. As somebody once said, I can't remember who, but just imagine if the only Jesus people know is the one that was inside you. So when I think about the church, I agree with all of the statements that my sincere hope is that we continue to be that strong witness of Jesus. So when people who maybe you're just first learning about it, maybe their heart's open just a little bit, when they talk to us, Jesus becomes real. Well, we're about out of time. We've talked about a lot of things today. We talked about our plans for the future, our congregation's love for the Lord, about spreading the gospel, some of the challenges, our mission, and about our congregation in general. So I think we should end with a word in prayer. Father Jim, can you lead us?
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your presence in our lives, and we pray that you would continue to be the refining fire that removes all in us that is not holy and of you. And we just lift up this church with thanksgiving for the way you have blessed it in so many ways and drawn so many believing, caring people. And you didn't do that without a purpose. And we pray that we would continue to discover what that purpose is and then make the sacrifices and have the fun of taking that and seeing you draw more and more people to yourself. And that is our only hope in terms of our building program, is that it would enable us to have the space for you to have the space to bring others to yourself. We pray for your blessing in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.